Good morning, and thank you for being with us this morning. You know, as we work our way closer and closer to the season of Lent, some of the messages in the scripture passages that we are dealing with have to do with, rather directly, what it is that Jesus is going to be addressing when he goes to Jerusalem. And in particular, this week has to do with Jesus' authority. Now, he has been invited to speak. He is still in Galilee. Remember, Galilee is the region of Israel, sort of the northern boundaries of Israel, that is sort of at the frontier, far away from the big city of Jerusalem and the heart of Jewish Israel. This is a place where people are sort of struggling with their faith, struggling to maintain their identity, struggling to identify with what it meant to be a Jew, struggling to figure out how to live out a life of faith in the middle of this Roman-dominated world. And Jesus is preaching in a synagogue on Saturday, as was often his custom, and he's preaching, and he is making people feel as though what he is saying is coming from a place of authority. And this is very, very different than what they're used to hearing. I want to talk for a moment about the notion of authority. What does authority mean? And I think one of the most telling examples of authority that I've encountered in my life happened when I was still in college. Like everybody else, I had a string of lousy minimum wage jobs that some left me with marvelous skill sets that I use, and some were just kind of a way to pass time and make some money. Now, one of the places that I worked that left me with a marvelous skill set was I was working for a pizza place. Local family-owned joint, was owned by this one guy, a young fellow, actually, and I was a prep cook at this pizza place. When I say it left me with a marvelous set of skills, I learned a lot of what I know about cooking, working as a prep cook at this pizza place. I would walk in on any given day, and there would be sitting on the counter two, maybe three, sometimes even four big restaurant-sized pans of vegetables for me to break down and have ready for the evening. And there I would be with this restaurant pan full of onions, halfway through this tray, tears streaming down my face, because of course I'm standing in a very small cramped kitchen with a literal pan full of onions, dicing and peeling and getting the onion juice everywhere. And the fellow that owned it was a fellow by the name of Philip DiCarlo. And it was DiCarlo's Pizza. And Philip, we didn't see Philip a lot, actually, if I'm being absolutely honest. Philip did a lot of the behind-the-scenes things. He was responsible for the dough. In fact, he was the only person who knew exactly what was in the dough. But pretty much everything that happened on a daily basis came through a guy by the name of Ron. Now, Ron was the night manager. And here's the difference between Philip, the owner, and Ron, the night manager. If something went wrong, say the grease trap backed up and the sinks were overflowing, you'd say, Philip, what do we do? He'd say, I don't know. Maybe we call somebody. Let me call Ron. If you said, Ron, what do we do? He climbed under the sink. He fixed it. Bing, we were back in business. If you said, well, hey, Philip, what do we do about this particular problem with the oven? I don't know. Let's call Ron. So we'd call Ron. Ron would come and say, oh, you need to reset this and fix that. You see, in the end, Philip owned the business. He was in charge. Ron, on the other hand, he had all the experience. He had all the know-how. He had all of the expertise. And this is the most important part. After a while of experiencing these two folks, the guy who is in charge and the night manager, we trusted Ron. We didn't trust Philip. Because you ask Philip how to do something, and 9 times out of 10, he couldn't give a good answer. Ron, on the other hand, he always knew what to do. So Ron was the guy you went to with all your problems. And over my life, I've discovered, job after job, the same sort of thing happens. The guy or the gal who's supposed to be in charge, more often than not, has somebody that works for them that actually knows how everything works. That person's the authority. See, that's the difference. Authority is born from knowledge, expertise, ability, and the most important secret ingredient in authority is simply trust. If you have these things, this knowledge, this expertise, this ability, and most importantly, trust, you have authority. It doesn't matter if you own the business and your name's on the sign. If you can't demonstrate to your employees that you have those capacities, you won't get the trust. It wasn't called Ron's Pizza, but we all trusted Ron. We all saw Ron's authority. And again, I've seen this over and over again, all sorts of places. You probably have too in your work experience. That one assistant manager that somehow knows how everything works when the manager just sits in their office and seems to do nothing. Now, Jesus is preaching, and he's preaching at the synagogue, and he's using a different style. See, when a rabbi would come and preach, what they would say, they wouldn't say, well, I read the scriptures today, and what I think it means is this. They'd say, I read the scriptures today, and what Rabbi such and so forth says is this. And what Rabbi such and so forth used to say was that. And Rabbi, what's his name? He says this. And so instead of claiming for themselves the authority to interpret scripture, they would grab pieces of information and wisdom from old ancient rabbis who were proven trustworthy. And maybe if you had enough expertise, maybe if you had enough ability, maybe if you had enough renown, you would start saying things like, I think the scriptures mean, or in my opinion, what this scripture is talking about is. But most people, especially when they were young preachers, and mind you, at this point, Jesus is probably, we think, in his early 30s. Jesus comes in and says, this is what the scriptures mean. This is what the texts mean. This is what you need to take away from this. People looked at each other and they said one another, here is a person who preaches as though he is an authority. Who put this guy in charge? Because, of course, authority is something that is earned. You earn it by demonstrating your abilities and earning people's trust. And so they look to each other and go, this guy, who does he think he is? Who gave this guy authority? And then, as though Jesus senses that he needs to be able to demonstrate to them that he is not just a authority, but the authority, a person with a demon comes in their midst. The demon recognizes him. See, the demon doesn't need to be proved anything. The demon already sees that Jesus is God the Son. The demon has had centuries, millennia of dealing with God. The demon respects Jesus' authority and fears him. Says, what are you here to do? Why are you troubling us, please? And Jesus silences the demon. He's like, hold on. Let's not jump the gun here. These folks don't know me yet. Let's let them form their own opinions of me. But instead, what does Jesus do? He casts out the demon. Now, let me tell you what. If you're living in ancient Israel, and there's somebody who has been for an extended period of time afflicted with a demon, possessed by a demon, unable to control their words, their actions, their behaviors, and suddenly the fill-in preacher, the substitute preacher for Sunday, or for Saturday, I guess I should say, the guy that just got up and did a sermon for the first time in your community reaches out and casts a demon out of someone, and you say to yourself, oh, this is a guy with a skill set. This is a guy with abilities. This is a guy with capabilities. This is somebody perhaps we can trust. And this is the thing, that authority is bound to trustworthiness. And it's one of the reasons that when we look around the world that we live in, it becomes very difficult to figure out which authorities we ought to obey. Because for every authority figure in this world that has done good things, if you look at them long enough, because they are human, you will find things that they have done that are also not good. I know we live in a polarized society where everybody on the left thinks that everybody on the right is evil, and everyone on the right thinks that everyone on the left is evil, and we go out of our way to point out the wrong that the other guys have done and ignore the wrong that our side has done. But the simple fact of the matter is, if we're being honest, there is good and there is bad in all human beings. Some people make better decisions than others. Some people make worse decisions than others. But no human being is faultless, except for one. And that's Jesus Christ. See, this is why God wants to be the authority over our lives. Because that ability, that capability, that skill, that trustworthiness is without fault. Every other person, every other institution, every other ism that you will ever come across in your life has faults. Enormous faults, glaring faults, dangerous faults. These people might be in charge. They might be in charge of our jobs. They might be in charge of our communities, might be in charge of our nation. That doesn't make them authorities. Just makes them in charge. Authority, ultimate authority, final authority, lies only with God and with God alone. And when we remember that first and foremost, beyond anything else of this world, that we are residents, citizens of the kingdom of God, and that our King is God Almighty, and that His authority is supreme over our lives, it starts to sort out some of our priorities. We have to ask ourselves, who do we listen to? Do we ask Philip, or do we ask Ron? Who knows what's going on at work tonight? The answer is always going to be Ron. Do we ask human authorities or do we ask God? The answer is always going to be God. God always is the authority. And so as Jesus prepares himself to go to Jerusalem, where he will face the quote-unquote authorities, the fact of the matter is they're just the people in charge. Jesus is the final authority. He was the authority then. He is the authority now. And so I say to you all as we gather together on this Sunday morning, may Jesus the Christ, the one who is authority over all, even the demons must obey him, may we recognize his authority over our life in all ways. Amen.